I'm not able to go into the detail of what specifically has been put in the application for special leave, but obviously it's looking at the differences of view between the two judgments, where Justice McClure, President of the High Court of the Appeals Court in Western Australia, found in favour of Steve, and the other two judges who sit on the Appeals Court finding against Steve. So there's two dissenting judgment, which is opposite to the judgment for, which overturned or which upheld Michael Baxter's judgment against Steve. So that's what it's going to be about, is whether Steve's case was correctly decided upon by the Appeals Court. And I think it's fascinating that we've got these two, fascinating and relevant and vital that it is looked at by the High Court, because we do have these two judgments completely opposite to each other. So we're asking the High Court to decide their view, which judgment should survive, the one in favour of Steve or the one in favour of Michael Baxter.
You have obviously looked at that decision by Justice McClure in quite some detail, because that is the one that did, as you rightly said, found in favour of Mr Marsh. Can you give us a bit of an idea of what that judgment actually said? What are you holding on to there?
Well, the judgment pretty much decided comprehensively in Steve's favour. It decided that there was a duty of care owed by Mr Baxter to Steve, that there was a breach of that duty of care, that the consequences of the incursion of genetically modified canola onto Steve's farm constituted nuisance, and that Michael Baxter was negligent in not taking steps to avoid that incursion onto his farm. She went on to then award, in her judgment, to award Steve Marsh the $85,000 in damages that he was asking for. So it was comprehensively in favour.
But there were two other judgments in that case that did not find in favour of Mr Marsh. And also, Scott, we have to remember that that was an appeals court, and you were appealing the Supreme Court decision from the year before that decided in favour of Mr Baxter again. So it seems like it's one judgment out of a lot that actually go against.
Well, that's right. But let's remember that as you move up to the appeals court, you do generally get a higher quality of judgment, or you certainly hope that you do. And Justice McClure is, by all accounts, one of the best lawyers and best judges in Western Australia, if not the whole country. She's a very highly regarded judge, and certainly she's written a very, very good judgment. It reads well. The lawyers that I've spoken to, both directly related to the case and lawyers who are completely unrelated to the case, think that she's written an excellent judgment. I personally don't think that the judgment by the other two judges reads as clearly or makes as good a sense as Justice McClure's judgment. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I wish I was a High Court judge. I'd love to be, but I'm not. I'm not a lawyer. So from a layman's perspective, I think that Steve's grounds in appealing and from the legal advice that Steve has been given, that I've been privy to, it's something that Steve has got prospects to appeal for special leave, or to ask for special leave, and he has got prospects of winning at the High Court if that leave is granted. So, of course, he has to give it a go.
On the other side, on the Baxter side, could you see that this could be seen as possibly grasping at straws a bit? As I said, this is one decision out of many that found in favour of Marsh?
Not really. I think that our legal system is not necessarily one that makes sense. It's very expensive, and the High Court does overturn decisions just as appeals courts do overturn decisions. The interpretation of the law is subjective at all levels, but we do have a robust and rigorous legal system which does have a High Court. It's appropriate that Steve, if he can get his case heard, goes to that court at this stage. Let's remember that we've got ultimately two judges' judgments written from the appeals court, not three, just two. Two judges sit authoring one judgment. But those two judgments are very equal and opposite to each other. There's over $2 million of legal expenses have gone into a decision of an appeals court, the second highest court in Australia, where the judgments, the views, the subjective reading of the law is equal and opposite to each other. I think that we deserve better than that. I don't think that the farmers, the consumers, the public, the politicians who make laws in Australia would feel particularly comfortable that Steve should go away and tuck his tail between his legs at this point, and every other organic farmer out there should go away and tuck their tail between their legs and say, well, that's it for us, because this case is going to decide how organic and how GM and how non-GM crops coexist beside each other moving into the future. Now, we have a strong view that GM farmers can do a lot to coexist close to or in proximity to organic and non-GM by practicing reasonable, common sense farming technologies and farming practices that will vastly mitigate and vastly minimise the risk of contamination and allow that coexistence to go forward. As it stands now, that Supreme Court judgment in Western Australia really does not provide clarity other than to say to GM farmers, you pretty much can do what you want. You know, you don't owe a duty of care and you can pretty much do what you want in relation to GM and non-GM and GM and organic. Now, that is of concern, and I think it should be of concern to most farmers that that would take place. Certainly consumers would be horrified, and I think politicians would be uncomfortable as well.
Scott, am I right in saying then that this appeal to the High Court will be focusing on that harvest method of swathing? Is that what you're going to be looking at in detail?
Well, no, not really. It's going to review the case. The High Court will review the case. The Appeals Court reviewed the case. This is simply going to review the case. It's going to look at whether there was a duty of care, whether it was breached, and if so, did that then constitute, or if it was breached, was that negligent? Yes. It was, we hope, and did that presence of that GM canola on Steve's farm constitute a nuisance to him? We believe it does. It's going to look at all of those. They're the main principles of this case, and it will review all of those. And in particular, it's going to look at Justice McClure's judgment, and in particular, it will look at the other two appeals court judges. Because let's face it, the other two appeals court judges found some errors with Justice Martin, the original Supreme Court judge. They found that he'd made some errors, and nonetheless, they still found against Stephen in favour of Michael Baxter. So there's a lot to look at. Fingers crossed, time is all I can say. We hope that it gets up to the High Court, and certainly hope that the High Court has an impartial, careful look at this, and hope that they find in favour of Steve. It's as simple as that.
The Safe Food Foundation has been and is financially supporting the Marsh case. Was it a hard decision or much of a decision at all by the Safe Food Foundation to go to the High Court, to appeal to the High Court?
Oh, look, we can only support Steve with whatever funds we have available, and those funds obviously, it's not an endless bucket of money, I can assure you of that time. We will launch a fresh round of fundraising appeals in the coming days and weeks, to try and support Steve. And let's not forget that there's also an appeals court decision on whether Steve has to pay for the original trial costs in the Western Australian Supreme Court. We don't know yet whether he has to pay those trial costs of $800,000 or whether the court says, no, you don't. And let's remember that Michael Baxter has received support from Monsanto and others. We don't know the precise level of support, but it certainly was the subject of the costs order in the appeals court in Western Australia, and the assertion put by Steve's lawyers that Michael Baxter wasn't liable to pay for his costs and, in fact, perhaps hadn't paid for any of his costs. So that's something that's a live decision that we're waiting on in the hopefully not too distant future.
As we all know, court costs are an extremely expensive process, and you probably know more than most, I would say, at this stage, Scott. But because you're really, you know, looking at that one judgment by Justice McClure, was it a hard decision to say we're going to go for another round of costs, expensive costs, to go to the High Court, considering you're really focusing on that one decision?
Not really, Tyne, because it's such an important decision and the vast sum of money that's been invested so far. To go to the High Court will be a much smaller percentage of what has been spent to date. And if we get some decent resolution of this issue, some clarification, I mean, the politicians told us a long time ago, rest assured, everything's fine, common law will sort out any issues between organic and GM and GM and non-GM. Now, we think that that was an erroneous decision by the politicians when they set up the gene technology legislation. We think it's erroneous today. But, you know, if it goes to the High Court and a common sense decision comes down, making it very clear who's responsible and who's not responsible, that'll be a good thing. We can at least draw some precedents from that decision so that farmers will know, yes, they're liable for their actions, or no, they're not liable. And ultimately, we need to get that clarity so that, for example, if the High Court was to uphold Michael Baxter's position, then we would certainly go to politicians asking for legislation to protect non-GM and organic farmers, because we think that the current decision as it stands is dreadful for organic and non-GM at a time when we are seeing a huge increase in export interest for organic and non-GM products into Asia.
And is that your next step? If you don't get special leave to the High Court, if that's not given, is that going to be the next step, pressure on government to change that legislation? Is that what you'll be doing?
Oh, very much so. And I think that pressure's already there. I think that the export demand, the export opportunities are being seen by farmers and business interests across Australia right now. And I know from the businesses that I deal with in the organic industry that they're very excited and working very hard to meet those opportunities. So very much so. I think that the industry wants to see a solution to this so that we don't end up destroying a very viable and very profitable export industry for organic and non-GM products. We do need to sort this out, Tyne.
Scott Kinnear from the Safe Food Foundation, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.